The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked and the disciples were there for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had done this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced with what they saw when they saw the Lord. Jesus again said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
When Leonardo da Vinci was painting his masterpiece, The Last Supper, we are told that he had a quarrel with one of his companions. In revenge for the wrong that he had experienced, he painted his companion's portrait as Judas in his great picture. After he had done this, his work was complete, except for the face of our Lord. It was da Vinci's ambition to paint the noblest and most perfect portrait of Christ that had ever been on a canvas. But try as he did, he couldn't succeed. In the meantime, his conscience was working, and at last he took his brush and painted out his companion's portrait and forgave him for the wrong he had done. That night in his dreams, da Vinci saw a beautiful vision of Christ, of which thousands have gazed at wonder ever since. I would like to think that something like this happens each time you, as a Christian, forgive someone who has wronged you. For whenever you blot out the sin of someone else, you would make it possible for them to see a living portrait of Christ. One of the places where Christ's actions are most clearly seen is when we see fit to forgive someone. Not just to tolerate, not just to put up with, not just to overlook, but to forgive. My words today are inspired by the closing lines of today's gospel, the closing words of the resurrected Christ. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. While we may be motivated by our Christian values, which is good, sometimes we forget that forgiveness is not just about how it changes the other person we forgive. The act of forgiveness also changes us. It might come as a shock to you to find out that in many cases, people who we hold grudges against have no idea that we're not talking to them, nor do they care less. An example might be Mary, who hasn't spoken to her friend Anne for 10 years, because on Mary's 21st birthday, she was hurt by something her friend said about her dress. Her friend Anne has no idea that her comments about the dress had insulted Mary, even if they haven't spoken for 10 years. But Mary, innocent but insulted, has carried this burden for 10 years. She has nourished and treasured this past hurt, and told everyone about it who would listen to her. Yet the only one affected by it is Mary herself. If Mary were to forgive her friend Anne, she would both feel the freedom to talk to her old friend again, but also be relieved of carrying a burden around. Even medical doctors and psychiatrists tell us that we can't even live in optimum health here on earth if we are not willing to forgive. According to Case Histories, a New York doctor declared, 70% of patients show some resentment in their lives. Ill will, bearing a grudge, can help to make us sick. Forgiveness will do more toward getting them well than any medication, the doctor would say. The forgiveness of God, in my opinion, is the best therapy in the world. One of the privileges of being a priest is having the opportunity to absolve sins. There are many different ways of describing the act of confession. One I find helpful is the image of confession or absolution as having sins or chains removed from us. These chains can restrict our ability to love, to reach out, indeed, to move on. In the sacrament of confession, these chains can be cut off, removed, even thrown away. The big challenge I find in confession is convincing the sinner that the chains have actually been removed. The big challenge is to convince the repentant sinner, now forgiven, to leave the chains behind, not to pick them up and bring them home again so they can put them on. Every time we join the live stream Mass or attend Mass, the Our Father is one of the central prayers where we ask God to forgive our sin as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That is what makes the world go round. That's why we need to pray that prayer so often. Charles Allen, a long-standing pastor in Texas, offered top 10 list in order to find peace in our lives. The list had the following things. This is so that we have peace in our lives. Number one, worry is a habit. Break it. Number two, when upset, think more and say less. Number three, put on a cheerful face. Number four, go ahead and cry, it's allowed. Number five, believe peace is better than war. Number six, analyze your problems. Number seven, accept God's forgiveness. Number eight, practice forgetting. Number nine, make promises sparingly. Number 10, keep an open mind. There is sadness in the air this Pentecost Sunday as we come to realize again that not all is well in our country this day. There are parts of the world where you would expect racial prejudice and police brutality, but not in the United States of America. If America were to get a school report card on race relations this evening, it would probably be marked, could do better, or improvement needed. I come from a country just taking baby steps away from sectarian divisions in Northern Ireland. Trust wasn't re-established with walls, tear gas, rubber bullets, or by destroying livelihoods and communities with vandalism. Trust was re-established when both sides recognized they needed to change the ways they always did things. We can take consolation and encouragement from the words of Martin Luther King: true peace, not merely the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. Pentecost Sunday marks the church's birthday and a new beginning. Today we're called to make a new beginning too. Around the world, there is a need for leaving down the weapons of the past, setting aside broken models of alleged justice or fairness, and beginning again. Wouldn't it be a wonderful birthday gift to our church if we could look again at how we love one another? The recent coronavirus has drawn attention to the reality that we are all equal, all the same, all susceptible to the virus. The virus is indifferent to religious affiliation or skin color. So also is housing. So also is healthcare. So also is the justice system. It also should be indifferent to race or skin color. Love doesn't see color. 2,000 years ago, Jesus appeared to his frightened disciples in that upper room. His first words were, "Peace be with you." The disciples were given the gift of the Holy Spirit and sent to proclaim the good news. This weekend, we ask the Lord to send us out as ambassadors of peace, forgiveness, and understanding. May we be more aware not only of our own need to be forgiven of our indiscretions, but also be aware of the gift we can give to another person when we forgive them. Lord, on the birthday of your church, help us to continue to build your kingdom in our broken world.